Hi, everybody. This is Steve. Back in October of 2007, we had Tina Coffey on our show. Tina is an instructional technology resource teacher from Salem City Schools. And after that show, we invited Tina to become a member of the GenTech crew. I'm pleased to present Tina's first field report, an interview with Meg Swecker. Here it comes.
Okay, I'm here with Meg Swecker from Roanoke County Schools, and I'm here to talk to her a little bit about some project she has been doing with her her students, and it's kind of spilled over so that it's been a joint project with other districts, too.
Yeah.
But first, I want to start off and get Meg to tell us a little bit about herself and what she does.
Okay, I'm Meg Swecker. I'm a tech resource teacher in Roanoke County Schools. I work with two elementary schools and one middle school. And I'm also a scuba diver, and that's how this kind of all got together. I've been underwater for years thinking, how can I bring this stuff home? And, you know, you can't take the ocean back. So we started with this cool project this year. See how it goes.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your idea and how you developed the idea of what you were going to do with the scuba diving and the technology.
Well, it actually started because I had a teacher that I work with went to Italy during the school year, and she wanted to be able to teach about Rome, but she doesn't like using technology. So I tried to teach her to Skype, and I tried to teach. I set up a place where she could podcast to, and it was way too much. So then I showed her VoiceThread, and she thought she could probably do that, and it ended up that she didn't, but. I actually put it out on Twitter, how do I get this teacher connected with her students? And somebody else came back and said, why don't you use VoiceThread for communication? And I hadn't thought about using it that way. And, of course, once it was presented, I'd use it for digital storytelling, but never as a back-and-forth means of communication. So I thought, well, I'll do this when I go to Mexico. So I started trying to get teachers interested. I made an invitation VoiceThread and sent it out. And in the meantime, I'm doing a project with eighth graders on writing using information from the ocean. And that teacher and I plan to use Skype and VoiceThreads and a couple of other mediums to get those kids to write.
Okay. So talk a little bit about, you sent out an invitation. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about VoiceThread and how that worked, how you sent out the invitation, what you started with.
I started with pictures from this place in Mexico, Cozumel, a hotel where we go down there and we dive. We go there once or twice a year usually, so I've got lots and lots of pictures of the ocean environment. So I created a VoiceThread inviting teachers to join me on this next dive and send questions, and sent that VoiceThread out to, I don't know, probably 50 people around the state, hoping to get some teachers who would be really interested in getting their kids involved and asking questions. And the idea was, there's wireless in my hotel down there. They'll send questions, and I'll go out that day with my digital camera, take some pictures of those things, and send a VoiceThread back so that the kids could see close to real time really what's going on underneath the ocean. And didn't quite work out that way. You were able to get some students to post questions. I had a few people post questions in text form. But I think all in all, a lot of learning still took place.
I do too. I think it was neat. And I'm going to explain a little bit about how we did it on my end, because I got your invitation, and VoiceThread had been something I'd been playing with too, and I was really excited about a chance to be able to use that, knowing that there'd be somebody on the other end that would also be, you know, carrying that along too. Mm-hmm. So I talked to some teachers at my school, and they were actually teachers at both schools, and got a variety of grade levels that wanted to participate. So the kids actually, in the class, I would come into the class and help the teacher come up with questions to ask you, and then the kids would record their questions back to you about the ocean or what have you, and then talk a little bit about what you did once we posted all of our questions. The kids recorded their questions for you. Talk a little bit about what you did on your end when you were in Mexico.
I loved that you sent a VoiceThread down with their questions. All the other teachers I'd sent to that participated just posted to my invitation, which was fine. But you created your own voice thread with the children's voices. And that made a huge difference for me. One, it helped me organize. It's like trying to teach about culture and taking a camera to a city. Where do you start? You know, there's pictures of everything. There's all kinds of things to learn about underneath the water, underneath the ocean. So their questions helped me focus, and I knew that they wanted to know about fish coloration and predators and so forth. And so I would look for things like that to take pictures of. So it helped in that manner. But what I thought was the most powerful was when I would finish up my dives and I'd get my little laptop out in the lobby of the hotel and turn it on, and I'd, of course, I had to listen to their questions to compose my answers. And when I would play the children's voices asking those questions, the lobby would stop. There were divers all over the place. There were Mexicans who didn't speak English. There were Mexican employees who did speak English. But when they would hear those children's voices asking questions, the lobby would stop and heads would pop up. And before long, people would be kind of meandering around behind me. What are you doing? And I'd explain that, well, I'm teaching kids back home in Virginia about the ocean, and these are their questions, and here's how I'm making my answers. And they were very excited. There were no educators in the group, unfortunately, but the divers were really excited about it. And even the Mexicans who didn't speak much English were very interested in how this could be. I left the voice thread with several of them, and from the hotel they could look at it. So
neat.
It was neat.
It's always neat to see people's reactions to technology. I think sometimes we don't get to capture that very well. We can talk about it and tell people about it, but I have to tell you, on my end, after you had answered my students' questions back, I went into some of the classrooms and would play the voice thread up on the projector for the students to see and to turn around and watch their excitement to realize that you actually answered their questions in details. You provided pictures to help answer the questions. They were jumping out of their seats. They were so cute. And then to watch them generate even more questions, because I think we did even ask you more questions on top of that. After seeing your answers, it was just really a neat thing to see. And I think that's something that technology can really grab kids' attention like that and really foster learning.
I agree. This is the type of project, when I think about how kids can learn today in relationship to how I learned 100 million years ago when I was a kid, how they can learn today, this just kind of sums it up. There's somebody in another place. You have to learn about that place. They're there. Talk to them about it. The kids are really excited about that, and it makes learning so much more meaningful. I've been doing this for years. I'll bring back my pictures. I've got video clips of sharks and octopus and stuff that we've taken. And I do presentations in fifth grade classrooms. I kind of step out of being an ITRT for a little while, and I'm a guest speaker. And they love it. They're always very interested. But I never walk away feeling like these guys understand. I know that they've been interested, they were excited, they were engaged. This project makes me feel like we've connected.
Right. Well, because it's almost a two-way communication, too, with you being right there and being able to actually find pictures to answer their questions and then just the back and forth banter on that. I think it's great. You were telling me also about a way that you extended this project in with your middle schoolers.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what you did with that while you were in Mexico.
We started, there's an eighth grade teacher at my middle school that really wants to develop the writing process with students who struggle with the writing process. So we're working with three co-taught classes right now, and they're not strong writers.
Okay, and explain a little bit what co-taught means.
Co-taught means that there are regular ed kids in there and students with special needs. There's usually a regular ed teacher and a special ed teacher teaming that class. And you generally end up with a mixture of ability levels, but there's a larger percentage of students who struggle academically.
Okay.
And may have some issues with being motivated academically.
I see.
So she came up with this idea, I want to use your fish pictures because kids are interested in the ocean. And she approached me with that months ago, and we talked about how we would put this together. But then we tied it in with this trip. So before I left, I went in and I presented to the kids, and I had them help me plan a dive trip based on what I want to see. And I showed them pictures of cave diving and pictures of wreck diving and pictures of fish and pictures of creatures and pictures of coral. And we went through the steps of planning, because planning is a big issue for writing. then I went to Mexico, and we said, yeah, she'll be back, and she's going to send us some voice threads, and and we'll watch what she has to say. But we didn't tell them I was going to Skype.
Oh, neat.
So on Friday, I left on Thursday. On Friday morning, we dove, and as soon as I got off the boat, I ran to the lobby and set up my laptop and called into the classroom. And we didn't tell them we were going to do this. So suddenly, the teacher's laptop rings, and this teacher is not technology literate, so the kids would never expect it. And there's me talking on the other end through the laptop, and the kids were jazzed. They want, of course, first question, did you see a shark? Yes, I saw a shark today, and it was not a dangerous one, and I'm still here with all my limbs. But it got them very excited in the project, and they were much more interactive with the voice threads after that because they knew I was going to be in Mexico. But then I was talking to them from Mexico, and when we got back, I showed them the voice thread that I'd done with you and the children. And from there, we've worked on this week comparing and contrasting types of fish, the omnivores, the herbivores, and the carnivores, and how their physical attributes can define them. And on Monday, we'll talk about the effects of the environment on coral and man's effect on coral. And from there, the kids will make digital stories based on interest and ability. They'll have a choice of comparing and contrasting fish, how to assemble or plan for a trip, the effects of the environment on the oceans in general, and what the consequences will be for us. So they'll have an opportunity to pick what really interested them, but they're going to create digital stories.
Oh, that's great.
It's going to be fun.
So have you decided what you're going to use to do the digital stories?
We will probably use PhotoStory. I really want to use VoiceThread because I'd like for the world to be able to see these.
Right.
We block VoiceThread in my district. So.
Okay.
And we haven't started yet, so I still have the possibility if the teacher's interested, but this is a little overwhelming for her, too, because she's not strong with technology, and I think probably we'll start with PhotoStory, and then maybe, because I think I can hook her again for another project,
right.
We may move to VoiceThread if I can get it unblocked.
We'll keep our fingers crossed on that.
I'll keep working on it. I'll keep pecking at them.
But that'll be great. And so then will you have, after the kids do their photo story, you'll post it up to TeacherTube or something?
Yeah, we'll
maybe
post
so we can...
those that are comfortable releasing their work, we'll put on TeacherTube.
Okay.
That's not blocked in our district, so we can see things web-based there.
That's great. So I'll include in the show notes on this, I'll include a link to your blog where you have all your voice threads.
Yes,
posted.
You've encouraged me. You're my blog hero. And yes, I've posted them all to my blog. It took me a million years to figure out how to make that work. The directions weren't as clear as they could have been. But I got them up there, and it is making me a better blogger. There'll be people in there looking. I have to start posting stuff.
Well, you have a great start right now, and that definitely people are going to want to see those voice threads. And then maybe later after you're done with your other project, we can post up a link to the TeacherTube class too, because
I'd like to do that.
Be neat to see that. So how long, right before we end, I'm just curious, how long is this project with this teacher lasting? How long is all of this taking you?
We did one day before I left, sometime while I was down in Mexico. Maybe a couple of class periods worth. You could count that as another day. All of last week. They'll only have me Monday and Tuesday next week, and then she's on her own for the digital storytelling.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, but all in all, it's going to be, ended up being about a 2.5-week project. She's, as an English teacher, she has the ability to do project-based learning, where at my elementary level, they have to teach everything, and it's harder for them to commit to a larger chunk of time.
Right.
But this teacher is comfortable with it, so we decided this, and we've met a lot of SOLs, as much as I hate to say that's the ultimate goal here. We've just done it in an interesting and meaningful way,
right,
rather than trying to force them to put things in order and assemble, take apart diagrams. And
well, I did like, you did mention when we were talking earlier, a way that you were meeting that SOL with the sequencing with the scuba gear. Talk a little bit about that, too.
Okay.
I mean, you're doing so much with this.
Yeah, we really tried to infuse it. I brought in scuba gear, and I took pictures of the steps each process.
Right.
And I used those pictures for them to sequence the steps of assembling scuba gear. And there's about 15 steps to putting it together. And it's critical that you do it correctly because that's your life support system underwater.
Right.
So we used the active board, and they had to drag the images around to the correct order and so forth after we talked about it. I had them physically assemble my gear.
Oh, that's great. You brought it in and everything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Neat. And some of it was still a little damp from the ocean, so they got the whole stinky boot effect. But I wouldn't let them touch the boots because they were pretty stinky. But the seawater just does wonderful things to neoprene.
Right.
But then I gave them a diagram of an image that I'd taken them about five steps in. And they had to be able to tell me from that picture what I did first, what I did next, and so on. Because apparently that's one of the things that they have to be able to do in the eighth grade on an SOL test.
Okay.
We explained to them that they would not have to do that with scuba gear, but they might get a picture of a picnic table. And they would have to be able to say, what do you do first, next, and next? And normally when you have that kind of conversation with eighth graders, they zone out.
Right.
But they could do it with the scuba gear. So we tried to connect to them that you'll have to do this in other ways too. And they all did very well with it. They knew what steps it took. So we hope that that will have a positive effect on their results in May.
Yes. Well, yeah. And what a neat way to garner excitement for that and meet that SOL. So,
yeah, they seemed to have a good time with it. They were very interested. The boys, of course, were interested in the fact that the tank could blow up. It's compressed air, right? Yeah. It'll blow up. Yes, but not easily. But, yeah, it was fun. We had a good time with it. They're very, very interested. They are highly engaged in this project, and the ocean will do that. People are fascinated
right.
by the ocean. But
especially in our area where many of the kids might not
yeah.
have that opportunity to be near the ocean. Or
several have never been.
Okay.
There were a number of kids who've really, they've been to Vinton. They
right.
haven't been out of the area at all.
Because I know that was the case for my students, too. There were quite a few that hadn't been to the ocean or that had maybe been to Virginia Beach once or twice.
Yeah.
But it's totally a different concept when you're talking about Mexico's ocean.
Yeah, it is. And they were very interested. And the fact that I could bring them with me using Skype by being able to do voice threads and answer questions. I brought back video clips of stuff that I knew that they would be interested in. You know, you've got the 2 minutes of video on your digital camera underwater. So
okay.
if you see, you catch an octopus out on the reef, they're out at night. But if you see one during the daytime, you can see how they camouflage. Because as they move from the reef where they're dappled to the white sand, they turn color immediately.
Oh, wow.
And so we've got video clips of that. And we've got video clips of turtles swimming and video clips of angelfish hiding in the coral and nurse sharks hunting. So, they realize that just because you're in the water, the sharks aren't coming from everywhere to eat you. Really, sharks don't do that at all. We're not on their food list. So we've got video clips. We've got video clips of us going over the continental shelf, down the continental slope.
Oh, that's so neat.
Because how do you make sense of that? You're looking in a book, and, it looks like a 4-inch picture that goes across and down, and that's not what it's like at all. So we've got that on video to be able to show kids. They go diving with me.
Oh, that's great.
All across the
sea. You know I'm
going
to want to snag some of those.
You're welcome
video
to
clips.
It. Yeah, you're absolutely.
Especially anybody's. When I hear camouflage, too, because that's another SOL that I know in the elementary
yeah.
school is taught. So
actually, I had the octopus and a manatee video up on TeacherTube, and then they've recently redone stuff. I have to post them again, but
okay.
I will post those things on YouTube, not YouTube, TeacherTube.
Okay.
And I will blog about it.
That would be perfect.
And then you can get
and then
to
we'll
it.
Put it. We'll put this in the show notes. This is great.
And I'll have another blog entry. Yay!
Well, I really appreciate you talking with us today. And
I really appreciate you interacting with this project, because if it hadn't been for you bringing the students' voices in, it would have been a good project. But it wouldn't have connected the way that I hoped it would. And now I have some real data that I can bring to other classrooms and say, see how this works?
Well, and once again, I wouldn't have been able to do that without having you in Mexico willing to do that, too. So so it's great to do the teamwork.
It worked out well.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, very good. Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Well, thank you.